was straight for. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, crown him Lord of all.
Romans is the epitome of Christian doctrine. When Paul starts out, as we mentioned a week or so ago, very condemnatory, condemning everybody, including himself. He calls himself the chief of sinners, and he's condemning all sin and names it and lists it. And you say, man, that's a tough book. Yes, it is, but you got to read the whole thing to understand what he's building up to as, but God loves you anyway, and that the love of God can overcome anything you can possibly do. You cannot out-sin the love of God. You can spurn him and reject him, but when you're dead and in hell, he'll still love you, and you can't get over love like that. So we'll pray, and then we'll talk about the Valentine's. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful day. The weatherman tried to scare us away, but here we are anyway. And we thank you so much for a place to preach, and we thank you for people who will come and listen. And we thank you that people who love the Word of God and understand that this is your Word. And we ask you to be with me and to guide my reins, not only in the night season, but in the days when I preach, that we may preach the truth and we not mislead anybody, but lead people to the throne of grace, where they will understand that the entire Bible is a love book written personally to them, if they will but accept it. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find out in Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So we find that that small verse of Scripture, 13:8-9, owe no man anything but to love one another, is a verse of Scripture I call the 11th commandment. A lot of people are misled and think the Ten Commandments is all you can go by. The Ten Commandments were given kind of as a, okay, you won't follow my 613 laws in the Old Testament. And by the way, the old Jewish rabbis could name all 613 in a hot minute. They knew the law. And by keeping of the law, they thought that they were saved. And unfortunately, you're not. And so God said, if you think the law will take care of things, let me give you 10. Listen, you keep these. And he spouted out, wrote out the 10 commandments. The sad part about the 10 commandments is you can't keep any of them, let alone all of them. And they're all interconnected. If you break one, you have to break another to break the one. And when you broke that, you'll find another that'll cover those two, and it gets mathematically crazy because you cannot sin without breaking all 10 commandments. They're linked. So if you're thinking, if I could just keep the 10 commandments, I'd be saved, that isn't even why they were given. That isn't how somebody gets saved. That's just a way to keep your life straight as you can do that. Because you'll sin before I get through preaching by thought or deed. Every time I, before I go to sleep and pray, I always say, Lord, forgive me of my sins of this day, those of commission, sins that I did, and those of omission, the things that I should have done and didn't do. That's sin too. Just forgive me all of it. And with your love, cover everything that I've done. And so he will do that. So we find out that in the Bible, love is, if you get Jack, the book, Concordance, and look up all the things that contain love in the Bible, you'll be there a while. Bible has a lot to say about love. It says, first of all, that love suffereth long. And that's old English, is it not? We don't use suffereth long as a term much anymore. What that means is it puts up with stuff. It endures. It's patient. And how long we've been married, honey? Huh? Forever, right? That's a long time. And I was just wanting these folks to know how long I've suffered. Suffereth long, 34 years. And so far. Yeah. Oh, me. Oh, so you have to suffer when you're married. You know that, don't you? If you're married, you know that. You cause your wife to want to pull her hair out. And sometimes she's already pulled yours out from what you've done. And so you learn, if you're going to be married, that it's two becoming one. And we used to hold a lot of weddings down here. And people wanted to get married on the beach and that kind of stuff. And I'd always tell them that, look, getting married is two becoming one. And don't mistake that for which one. It's two becoming a new one. She's going to do stuff you don't like. He's going to do stuff you don't like. Get used to it. And the lovely ladies, and who doesn't love the beautiful ladies of the church and otherwise? I mean, when God made the beautiful women, he did something, didn't he? I mean, there's nothing prettier than a beautiful woman inside and out. There's no beauty. And I tell you what, you go to Grand Canyon and you put KG up there. What's her name? Kimberly Guilfoyle? You guys play like you don't know who she is. Kimberly Guilfoyle, you put her on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you stand back and get a group of guys looking at that. Not one will say, look at this canyon. Why, that peak over there is 125 miles and we can still see it. Look at the beauty of the colors. Always sunset. Look at they won't say any of that. Every one of them will say, did you see it, honey? Every one of them. Why? Because you learn as a man, there is nothing more beautiful than a woman. And you'd be glad if you have one that you got one. And I know some of us are glad that some of them left, but, you know, can't work things out. And, you know, look at Bernie there. He's had to put up with Carolyn for 82 years. How long is it now, Carolyn? Not long now. And I'm telling you the truth. A beautiful woman's a thing of beauty. And when you have that harmony between you two, you're going to have to put up with some stuff. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to endure stuff. And that's part of love. That's what love is. You can't always have your way, whether it's man or a woman. You can't have two people thinking exactly alike. If they do, there's no use for one of them. Got to be difference there. Has to be difference there. And if you listen to your partner, maybe sometimes You can get both your thoughts together and come out with the truth. And that's good too, isn't it? And it says that love is kind, that it envies not, that it's not jealous. I've known people that were so jealous of each other, it ruined their home. You knew Toby Long, Dwight, and several of you knew Toby. I love Toby. He's like my brother. And he's been gone 10 or 12 years. And he and his wife were in Charlotte, and I lived in Charlotte. And it was so silly to back off and watch them. If he bought a shirt, she'd go buy a sweater. If she bought a skirt, he'd go right out and buy a pair of pants. Neither one of them could afford either one of the objects. They'd charge them. And they called me one day. They were losing their house over it. And it got to where it was two kids. Well, you're not going to have that if I don't have something. And then not knowing that what it was leading to is neither one was going to have anything. And I remember, I went over and told him, and at the time I was making just a little bit more money than I do here. And so I said, Toby, give me the figures. What'll get you out? And they brought out a deck of cards. I thought they was going to play canasta. Credit cards. And I said, what's your total? And it was in the 70s. I said, what'll get you out? He said, well, about $2,000. Oh, I'm going to lose my house. So I said, give me your credit cards, all but one for gas. Get a pair of scissors, Marilyn. You cut those credit cards up, and I'm going to give you $2,500 cash today. And I don't want this to ever happen again. Don't reorder credit cards. Don't buy anything else but gas on credit and grow up. And they did that, and life straightened out a little bit for them. But it was a matter of just envy. He's got, I won't. She's got, I won't. And you don't do that. You're on the same team. Don't break up the team. The problem is today most marriages are long dating series. If I get mad at you, I'm going to call a lawyer. We'll get a divorce. And people are getting married all with that in mind. If I don't like that, I'll just get a divorce. And it's as bad in the church as out. 50% of marriage sometimes doesn't sound like such a good idea. Fully 50% end up in divorce. Now, any time where 50% ain't working, that's not a good thing, is it? If you got people working for you in the business, if 50% of them aren't doing anything, I assume you got sense enough to fire them. I used to laugh. I ran a direct sales thing. I had 3,000 people working. And people would ask me, I said, Beaver, how many people you got working? A standard answer. I said, about half of them. About half of them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you knew. You know, just look at the figures and you knew. So, we're not to be envious of each other. And it says, the Bible says, love doesn't vault itself up. That means, hey, look at me. Look what I can do that you can't do. Watch me. This is the me generation, you know. It's all about me. I've seen beer cup holders. Isn't that what those rubber round things are to hold the beer cans? And they got printed on there. It is all about me. No, it isn't all about you. No, it isn't all about you. It was better when it was all about somebody else. They would understand that you felt that way, so they'd begin to feel that way if they didn't already. And when you married, it's all about your family. That comes first. It's all about God first and your family second. You third. You almost not even in there. And yet it's, hey, look at me. Watch what I can do. And that's not the way to be. That's not the way to be. We, Ann and I, lovingly argue with each other. Not argue, but just, you know, cut up with each other. And she'll say, well, you don't work but an hour a week. It takes me 8 hours a day to do this, the typing and the emails and the delivering of the food. And now I said, okay, you get up there Sunday. Have at it. Get ready. Pick your verse. Ready to talk for an hour. Think you can handle that? Well, see, if you're serious about that, you see what you're doing and what you're leading to a fight is what you're leading to. You just don't do that. Obviously, Miss Ann can do many things I can't approach doing. I would hope I can do something that she can't do. But rather than being envious, I'm glad. That means I don't have to learn to do it if she'll do it. And she doesn't have to do what I do if I'll do it. That's kind of a good deal, isn't it? Right? So we just both appreciate each other's talent, whatever it may be, and I'm just glad you're you. And, we'll have a little spat every now and then like everybody else does. That's when I get smart alecky and say, I love you anyway. And she spent 35 years trying to figure out what anyway meant. And that's Bible. I love you anyway. I don't care what you do. I love you. That covers a lot of stuff. And I love the card you left for me this morning. And that was beautiful saying somebody had written. And Ann will come to me. She'll say, I need 2 poems by the morning. And I said, what? Well, I need 2 poems by the morning. You write poems, write 2. I said, honey, it doesn't work like that, But fortunately, I can do that. So I do that. And then I'll tell her, Ann, I need a copy of this and I need this on the computer. I'm not even allowed to cut the computer on. Just stay away from the computer. And because I'll ruin, she said, you'll ruin everything. Well, thank you for the confidence, but could I have a copy of this? See? So she does her part and I do mine. We'll get it done. And that's the way that you want to do. You love you one another. It's not puffed up. That means prideful. Hey, look at me. No, you look in the mirror. They much to you. Love does not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? Well, that's, embarrassing your wife in public, which is what I do. And but just, you've seen people who are just very rude, and you don't want to be around them. You don't want to be near them. And their wife's hanging her head. She's thinking, what made me do this? Because basically I hate to go anywhere with you. I hate to be seen with you. And their marriage is like that every day. You don't open the door for my wife. If she's in the car with you, she'll sit there. She dies. You'll learn to open a door for your wife. And you don't open a door for a lady going in a restaurant or somewhere. Doesn't happen much anymore, does it? Do you see that happening much anymore? I do it every time there's one there. But I am hateful enough if they don't say thank you. I say the words, thank you, ma'am. It's appreciation. I don't have to open the door. But you're a lady and I'm a man. It doesn't belittle you. It's just a compliment to you that somebody would care enough to do something nice for you, even though they don't even know you. And that's part of love itself, is it not? To love you one another. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. That's not selfish. Not being selfish. And I'm going to talk to all you selfish women today. All right? And you can test women all the time, see how selfish they are. You women trick us a lot. We know that. We know that. And we trick you sometimes because you can tell a lot by the answers people give. I always ask a woman, where do you live? Oh, I live on 10th Avenue over here, 10th Avenue South. We have a white house, a green shutter. There's 3 houses. And then there's my house. Whose house? my house. Do you pay for the house? Did you buy all the money to buy the house? Are you providing a house for the rest of your family? Don't go any further. I know the answer is no. It's our house is the white one with the green shutters, not just your house. That's just reveals just a little selfishness, does it not? Ann would tell me, and she was so proud when Mike gave us that car, and she said, "Boy, I love your new car." I said, "Just a minute. It's not my car. It's our car. You may never drive it. You may never even ride in it. But anything I got is yours. And anything you've got is mine. We are an our family." And every family needs to be that way. Or you're letting selfishness get in. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. I've learned not to be too selfish. Ann gave me a nice cookie for Valentine's. I thought that was good. And I wanted to do something. So I saw on TV a lady selling strawberries dipped in chocolate. Big box of them. And boy, they look good. And they were about $20 or something. And she said, "That does look good. Be a nice Valentine there, but it's $20. So I set out to find something similar. You know, fruit dipped in chocolate. Finally, I found it at the CVS store. They're called Raisinets. So, Miss Ann will get a pack of them right after church. So, I'm telling you the truth. Be sure you have a good sense of humor before you get married. Okay. Not easily provoked. I don't know how long you've been married, but boy, that's a hard one to keep, isn't it? Love is not easily provoked. You do things that provoke your wife that you think nothing of. So do I. My wife does things that I hate, but she doesn't know it provokes me that much. And I'll drink hot tea. My mother was English, and I like hot tea. So I'll get Constant Comment or Earl Grey and get me a nice big cup there. And then when I sit down, I don't sit down just easily. There's a lot of me to sit. And I sit on the couch, there's going to be some movement. If there's some movement with a cup of tea, some of it's coming out of the cup. Gonna land on the knee, or the couch, or the carpet. Well, I'm gonna make sure it isn't that first one. So I'm gonna hold it out here. That means the couch and the carpet are in danger. And then you don't want to be too close to it, so I always hit the carpet with that rascal. There it is. And that provokes my wife no end. "Can't you sit at the table and drink that?" No, I want to watch the ball game, sit on the couch, be comfortable, put my feet up, and I want to do it over here. Well, you wouldn't spill it if you were over there. And it's with all you can muster to say, "I don't care if I spill it or not. You care if I spill it." And then here we go with the war, right? Nice war, but a war. Well, look at the carpet. Look at that spot. What you going to do about that? A, call the carpet cleaner. B, pull the couch out further. C, cut a piece out behind the couch and put it on that. There are a lot of things you can do with that little spot on the carpet. It's not bothering anybody but you. And I'm not going over there and drink my tea. And, you know, you don't swing at each other, but it provokes you, doesn't it, honey? Somewhat. See? She does stuff to provoke me that isn't proper to talk about in public. Okay. Thinks no evil. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Don't you hate to see a marriage where he's got to know where she is every minute and she has to know where he is every minute? And they'll follow each other, send a detective. You're not married. You're just chained to somebody you like. That's not a marriage. I told my son growing up, I said, Scott, you what, 15, 16 years old, whatever, and I can't follow you around town. Every time you crank the car, I can't follow you to see where you're going or what you're going to do. That's ridiculous. I try to raise you and teach you what's right. And if you're not going to do what's right, I can't do anything about that, but I'm going to think that you're going to do what's right when the occasion comes. And he did pretty good by that, didn't he? He did pretty well. We, not counting setting the neighbor's house on fire, everything went pretty good there. But he's a kid. You've got them too with problems too. But you can't think evil of the person you're trying to join up with and make one person out of. You can't do that. See? I'm going to think everything's all right. And what if it isn't? Well, what can you do about it? Nothing? Then why worry about it? If you worried about her, it's not going to give her an ulcer. It's going to give you one. Let it go. Let it go. It's too hard to let go. No, it isn't. Just let it go. Just let it go. As a Christian, we say, turn it over to the Lord. Hey, Lord, take care of this, please. It's out of my hands. I'm not going to worry myself about, is he going to do something or is she going to do something? And I don't want her to have to worry about where I am. If I have to spend the night, I used to have to go out and spend the night on the road, and you'd call your wife, and you hoped she answered. But if she didn't, I didn't wonder where she was. She wasn't home. That's where she was. Well, being away from home can be a thousand different places. Why is it you think maybe she's with somebody else? I'll tell you why, because you don't trust her. And if you don't trust her, I'm sorry, you don't love her. Because God said, turn it over to me. I'll take care of it. If somebody does you wrong, don't worry about it. I got it. And there's two or three I've wanted to kill. I mean, take their life. Okay? And I said, no, if I do that, then I go to jail and he's still free. Do I really want to spend my life in jail over this idiot? I don't think so. I don't think so. Lord, please take care of that your way. I mean, you get some reports in and you say, way to go, Lord. Right? I'd rather have my wife answer the phone and say, you all right, honey? Yeah, okay. Be careful coming home. Yeah. And you know by the conversation what's really going on in their heart. I loved Miss Ann Saturdays. Bless her little heart. I can't hear very well, but I listened the best I can, and she had answered the phone, was talking to somebody, and I was cutting across from one room to another, and the person had said, are y'all going to have church Sunday? The reason I know this is she told me, of course. I couldn't hear the telephone. And she said, yes, we're going to have church Sunday if me and Beaver are the only people who come. We're going to have church Sunday. And she didn't even know I was listening, but I'm saying that's the way to go. That's the way to go. See, I don't have to worry about her. Why? Because she put God first and me and the rest of the world second. And that's the way we all ought to be. How does this affect my relationship with God? What I'm going to do next? How does this interfere or block his love for me or keep him from doing something that he wanted to do for me, but I stopped it because, like the Old Testament, I wouldn't obey. How's that going to come out in the end? Seen it happen to too many lives. Think no evil of those that you love. Rejoice not in iniquity. Unfortunately, we live in the last days. It's for good fortune and last, but we're living in the last days. There's no doubt about that. And today, iniquity reigns. Everything filthy, ugly, against God, rejection of Christ, immoral, this is what we practice. We have an immoral country is what we have. We have a country that puts illicit sex above everything. Above everything. I know it breaks the heart of the good Catholic priests who have dedicated their life to serving the Lord. They're in a different franchise than I am, but they're still serving the Lord. And they have given their life to Christ, and they have to do because they largely believe in a works salvation. And at 3 o'clock in the morning tonight, there'll be priests all over the world meeting in prayer and singing the songs of Zion while you and I are sleeping, because they think that adds to their goodness. You can't add anything to the cross, by the way. And I know it breaks the hearts of those good saved Catholics, and I know some saved Catholics. I even know some saved Baptists. And I know that it breaks the heart of those when they have a situation come up between a priest and an altar boy, that kind of a thing. Or priest and priest, that kind of thing. Breaks their heart. Can you imagine you're doing all you can and trying to uphold the church and trying to uphold the Bible and trying to uphold the love of God, and they've got to break it in such a blatant, irreverent way? How sad that must be. It broke my heart the other day, not seriously, because I've seen it coming for a long time. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, which is on the news because of the debate last night. And good people as a whole, over 63% said they were born-again Christians. I didn't know we had that many liars in Greenville, but evidently we do. And but there they are, the First Baptist Church, Southern Baptist, of Greenville, South Carolina. I've known it all my life. It's the church that started the Southern Baptist Association. I mean, this is a Bible-believing, God-honoring people. And the local pastor has now announced he doesn't believe that anymore, that they're going to marry men to men, have homosexual pastors at the First Baptist Church of Greenville. You're going to do this? What are you reading for a Bible, or are you reading one at all? This is not a matter for a Supreme Court. This is a matter for a Supreme God. And he speaks out against it plainly several times in Scripture, and how anyone who calls themselves a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ can vote for that kind of behavior better check their salvation, as had the people who are listening to him, because for my money, none of them are saved. Not the first one. How sad. How sad that the rest of us put up with it. Isn't it? So rejoices in truth, love does, the Bible says. Well, boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because a lot of people don't like to rejoice in some truth. They hate to hear the truth I got rid of six couples here in one Sunday. I think I set a record there. Okay. I happened to inform the congregation that it was a sin to live with somebody in a marriage situation if you weren't married. And if you're going to act like you married, then get married. And we lost six couples that day. I guess they figured they showed me. No. You showed God what kind of a person you are. That's what you showed. And believe me, the question is going to come up again. And next time you're not answering to me, I hold no authority over you. But the great judge does. And at that judgment, you will have every opportunity to explain why you did what you did. Going to be a bad day at Black Rock, isn't it? That's why there's two resurrections, the resurrections of the good and the bad. The bad are going to be resurrected. The evil are going to be resurrected 1,000 years after the resurrection when Christ comes with the church. They're not going to like that. They'll wish they were still laying in the coffin, because at that resurrection, it's not a matter of, gee, can I get in now? The answer is no, the door's closed. That resurrection and that judgment is just to decide how much punishment you live with for eternity, not if you go to hell or not. That's already been decided here. How sad. People don't like that truth. Well, we just don't believe that anymore. Son, the Bible didn't say for you to have a vote in the matters of what's true and what's false. The Bible said for you to follow what God said, period. That's it. Argument's over. You made your choice. Now God's making his. Well, I don't like that old-time preaching. Well, get used to old-time hell, because you're going to be there for eternity. And you get the, you know, sweet little old ladies and men. Well, I just don't think you should talk like that in church. Reminds me of Dr. Spurgeon from England. Spurgeon was one of the, called the Prince of Preachers. He's one of the greatest who ever lived by man's reckoning, and so he was. Spurgeon had a good sense of humor. Every now and then he'd make folks laugh from the pulpit, as I tend to do myself. And the committee came to Dr. Spurgeon. May we have a word with you, Dr. Spurgeon? Certainly, come in the house. What's your problem? Well, we feel that there's too much levity coming from the pulpit. And he said, well, you go tell the committee, if they had any idea of how much I'm holding back, they'd be proud of me. See, Spurgeon understand the job of a preacher is not to make you happy. The job as the preacher is to let you see what you are in the eyes of the Almighty God and to get right with him. Truth. Boy, it can hurt, can't you? Bears all things. Now, those of you who have been married have understood that, haven't you? You have to bear all things, and I feel sorry for Miss Ann. You got to bear craziness I put up with. Then on the other hand, I have to bear a few things myself. So what you gonna do? Break up a home over nothing? Break up a home over something silly, something stupid. Next time you get mad at your wife, before you get hot at her for making a mistake, check and see if you've ever made one. And the wives may do the same thing. That's what forgiveness is all about. Love is about forgiveness. That's why God lets you skip hell. And you sit down, and there was a song I had never heard, been church all my life. My father went home to be with my other father, and I helped with the homegoing festivities. A lot of people call them funerals. And so I'm speaking to a crowd of people, and before I spoke, one of our friends from Bob Jones, Dr. Bob was going to be there, but he was out of town. I wish he'd have been there. But he was going to sing a solo, and he did. Beautiful voice. I'd heard him on the radio so many times. But he sang a song called The Love of God. I had never heard it. It turns out to be my favorite hymn. It's probably in that Baptist hymnal that you use. Some Baptist church gave us those hymnals. And it's just trying to explain the love of God and how it reaches past the farthest star. And we know the universe, as far as we know, is unending. And it reaches to the lowest hell. Which means when you die and reject Him and you've been assigned to hell, God still loves you. How can He do that? And it goes on to say that if the ocean was made of ink, all that liquid was ink, and that every reed on earth was a pen, and every man on earth was a scribe, and the whole of the universe was a parchment to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. And you think about those things and the love of God, and then you read the scripture and He says, I love you that much. And for us to try to get near explaining the love of God, we can't do that. We're to love each other as God loves us, and we got Christians gossiping about each other, talking about each other. We got men and women, one will go to church, other won't go. Why'd you get married? And then they got a little baby, and they won't teach him about Jesus. I had I don't know what relative he is, something on my mama's side there from Toronto. And my mama was the sweetest little lady that ever lived. And they had a baby, and when he was 2 or 3 or 4 years old, she gave him several little gospel books for Christmas. They gave them back to my mother. And he said, we don't believe this, so we don't want. And you tell me you love that baby? You really love that baby and won't tell him about Jesus? You won't let him know of how much God loves him? You're going to let him go completely through life and not know that a loving God and the God of love and God is love died for him so he didn't have to go to hell? You're not going to tell him that? Well, we're not very religious. You're not religious at all. Religion has nothing to do with it. You aren't God-fearing is what you are. How sad. And we have atheistic churches now in our country. They have a 501(c) tax write-off just like me and the Hell's Angels. What happened? What happened when to be a Christian is to be ridiculed now? The people in this community, they aren't very proud of us. We're that bunch of crazies that meet down at the pavilion on Sunday. They're not proud of us. They don't like us being here. They don't know who we are. They never talked to us. They didn't try to make friends. They don't come down here. But they hate us. Why do they hate us? Because they hate themselves. That's why. We remind them of who they are and what's going to happen. And they don't want to hear that. They want the diva god, you know, in the fluffy little pink things running up and down the street here, they want to worship that. They want to worship physical exercise. It's good to exercise. I exercised 2 or 3 times there. But that's not life. Paul straightens it out. He said it helps very little. And we go through life ignoring God. How can you do that? If you have any mind at all, how can you stand on that beach and even look at that ocean and saying, somebody had to make this. This didn't just happen. And nightfall comes and the sky is blanketed with the black velvet and little twinkling diamonds. And I find out the average star is 32 trillion miles apart. And there's so many of them. And we get telescopes that look into the far, far future, and we find out there's not just billions of stars, there are billions of galaxies of stars, and you don't wonder how they got there. And you can't figure out there's a creator, and you can't read and find out that creator said he loved me personally. And he made it clear, had I been the only one who had rejected him and the only one who had sinned, that he still would have sent his son to die a violent death on a cross and shed his blood just for me, had I been the only one. And where do I find anything similar to that on earth? Won't be. How can you have, and we've all done it, told somebody you loved them and you didn't? You wanted something from them, so you told them you loved them. Happened a lot at drive-in theaters where you still can't name the movie. I know, I was in the car in back of you. Right. Be careful how you use the word, I love you. Unless you mean it. And Ann and I love you. I can't love you like God loves you. I'll do the best I can. Some of you are right ornery. But I love you anyway. Some of you would differ in thought. But I love you anyway. Why? God said to. And He is love. Doesn't just give love. He is love. So our group here, I come on Valentine's Day and tell you indeed happy Valentine's, because we love you. We can't exist without you. How kind of you to take care of us, provide us with a place to live, automobiles to drive, money to live on. I get an allowance tomorrow morning. Won't I, honey, get an allowance? Maybe. Not here for a bunch of money. I've already been there. It was very lonely, to be honest. Sophie Tucker said, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. I'll correct her just a little bit. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich was more convenient. It wasn't necessarily better because I developed 20 millionaires. 20. Guess how many wrote me in the last 40 years or called and said thank you? One. And that was last month. Rick Goins sent a letter and said, I just wondered what happened to Beaver. Rick Goins is CEO of Tupperware. He's also on the board of the Smithsonian Institution. Multimillionaire. And he said, I just wondered what happened to you. And what you taught me wasn't wasted on me. Thank you. And I said, thank you. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, thank you. And I thank you because you provide for us to live. And Miss Ann can't believe it sometime. And I can't believe it sometime. And then I remember, God said, I'll take care of you. Don't you worry how. You just go do what I ask you to do. I'll take care of it. And sometimes you get 327,000 miles on your car and you know death is imminent. And I said, what we're going to do? I didn't say it. I wondered. I can't afford a car. Cars today cost as much as a house. In fact, I not only can't, I wouldn't buy a car for $20,000 or $30,000. My stomach wouldn't allow that. I said, what are we gonna do? Phone call from somebody I'd taught how to sell 40 years ago. He made $1 million several times. And called and said, I got a car for you. And I've owned a lot of cars. I've owned 10 or 12 Mercedes. And that's the finest automobile I have owned in my life. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I know where the car came from. Thank you, Lord. And Ann and I on Valentine's Day want to thank you for loving us. We appreciate that. And when people come up and say, just want to tell you I love you, I appreciate that. And I know that you mean that. And I know that that's hard to do with some of the things I tell you. But that's my job. We're going to go home right now. I was going to tell you, I'd written a book one time. Short stories. And in there I had a story of faith. Jack is teaching on faith. Now you need to go hear him. And down near your house at Hinton's, you remember Hinton's down at Judson? Little cafe. Meat and three for $2.50. We sitting there one day. My dad said, let's go eat. And I said, well, I hope you got some money. He said, not yet. Let's go by the post office. How do you know money is going to be at the post office? You didn't question him. Goes to the post office, gets the mail, and drives me crazy. Because I get a letter, I'm going to open it. He'll get one, put it in his pocket. He might open it Tuesday. He just got two or three letters, put them in his pocket, said, let's go eat. And I'm thinking, you still ain't got the money. He's thinking, you don't know what's in the envelope. So we go and eat, and a gentleman comes in and sees my dad and me eating over there and comes over and said, are you Dr. Norman Greenway? And he said, yes, I happen to be. And he said, I'm so-and-so. Said, I heard you preach years ago here in Greenville and Anderson, Spartanburg. I used to follow you around listening to you. And are you local now? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, I assume you have one of the larger churches here in Greenville. And he said, no, I'm not welcome in the larger churches of Greenville. We have some irreconcilable differences, and I can't be preaching that. And they said, Norman, you're such a wonderful preacher. And he was. And you know the Bible so well, and he did. He said, can't you just go ahead and accept some of the sermons, some of the revivals and stuff, and go ahead in there and preach, and at least you'll be getting the message to the people, and you know, just cross your fingers behind your back and go ahead. And I'll never forget the answer. And he said, Mr. So-and-so, whatever his name was, said, I'm getting a little age on me, and it won't be long before I stand in front of my Savior and give an account for my life. And I have absolutely no intention of doing that with my fingers crossed behind my back. And I had never heard a sermon on faith so great as I heard that day. I said, I hope I can be like that one day. And we're doing all right because you're here. And by us trying to be faithful to the Lord, man had it right. If we're the only ones here Sunday, no disparagement to you. We'll be here because he's here. And when Jesus said, I love you, come unto me. And he opened his arms and said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Go ahead with your nails, son. I know you got to do that. You too. It's all right. I do this because I love you. I said, what a God. What a Savior. What somebody to say, I love you and mean it. And that's the way we ought to get. One toward each other. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know him as personal Savior and don't know how to experience that kind of love, you can start today just where you sit. You don't have to come up here. As we sing and pray, you pray to the Lord yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, we all know. But I've heard about your love today, and I didn't know that was for me. And I just want to thank you for loving me and dying for me. And today I want to accept you as my Lord and Master. And I want to live for you, and I'll come to church and somewhere. And I'll learn more about you because I've found out how much you love me. And I wish to return that love. So please today, forgive me of my sins and save me. And I promise he will, as he's done for billions. And he's coming soon to take us home. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. And hope someone's here today, not hoping they're lost, but if they're lost and here today, have never taken the time to repent of their sins and understand it was love that held you to a cross, not nails. You could have jerked the nails out of your own hands anytime you wanted to and come down off that cross. You could have kept those from beating your back and torturing you till you were almost dead, shedding your blood and your insides falling out and going through all that suffering and pain. You didn't have to do that. I know that. But Lord, you did it because you loved us. And help us all, saved and lost, to learn to love you more. And to let that love spill over to those near us and dear to us. So we can show the love of Christ to the world. So they too will come to thee. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his loving sake. Amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a
sinner.